Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos. I'm sorry, I had the phone on mute. I thought it was on. So please forgive me. As I was saying, excuse me, I wanted to say God bless you. Thank you for joining me tonight. It's a blessing to be in your midst. You have to bear with me tonight because I am sick, you know, and God is blessing me, though, because I'm on medication, and I told God as long as I could that I would preach the word because I want to be faithful to this broadcast. I want to be faithful to the ministry that he has given me on Thursdays and Sundays. And I know people are listening and people are expecting this to get the broadcast. It's being a blessing to so many people, and I thank God for that because I haven't always had an opportunity to preach like I am now. But I give God the glory and I give God the praise because he is faithful. Amen. So we're going to start amen tonight. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And the Bible says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Amen. So let's talk about this for a minute. Jesus, we're talking about messages where Jesus said, beware. And what did he say beware of? And most of these messages are for the last days. And I know that every generation thought that they were in the last days. But the longer that Jesus delays his coming or the longer time goes on and Jesus have not returned yet, we're getting closer and closer to the day when Jesus is going to return. Amen. So the Bible says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And you will hear some silence for a moment because sometimes I may have to, you know, blow my nose or cough, and I don't want to do that in your ear, so just bear with me, please. Praise the Lord. But in Matthew 7 and 15, the Bible says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. So this is letting you know that these false prophets are going to come in as Christians. They're going to come in as ministers of God. And there's another scripture, and we're going to get to it tonight if we can, that says even Satan himself is transformed into a minister of light. So don't be surprised, in other words. It's not the word for word what it says, but it says don't be surprised, or it's not surprising that his ministers come as ministers of righteousness. And so the Bible says, beware of false prophets. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Leadership, false leadership is going to be on an increase in the church of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus was talking to his people when he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing. The reason why he said, come to you in sheep clothing, because he compared Christians to sheep. The only ministry, the only church that compares the parishioners or the people to sheep is the Christian church. So he said, they're going to come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Amen. So he said the inside of them is not clean. Amen. Let's talk about this some more as we go down. Amen. I want to go over to my notes. Beware of false prophets. Let's go down, continue to read down here in Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." In verse 16, "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" So Jesus was saying, look at the fruit that these leaders are bearing. Amen. Look at their fruit. By their fruits you shall know them. Amen. And when you look at the fruits that they're producing in their lives, it's going to tell you if they're a good tree or if they're a corrupt tree. The Bible said, do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? We don't have to argue about it. We don't have to fuss and fight in the body of Christ. All we have to do is look at the fruit that these ministries are producing. And what are they going after? Amen. And what are they preaching? Amen. The Bible says, do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? And I've told you before, a lot of times people will come to you with one scripture or two scriptures on a subject, but that's not the whole doctrine. The Bible said eat the whole roll. Jesus said you have to eat the whole roll. You can't just take a little bit. He said a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So that means a little false doctrine. He said beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They thought he was talking because they did not take bread for that journey. Jesus said, I'm not talking about the fact that you didn't bring bread. He said, I'm telling you to beware of the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because a little leaven, which is false doctrine, leaveneth the whole lump. All it takes is one small amount of false doctrine or false teaching, and everything else just throw out the window. because it's going to lead you astray, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The Bible says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now let's continue on with this, because I love this verse in verse 21 in Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You say, why do you love that scripture, Sister Brenda? Because I like to see the word of God that be effective in the lives of God's people. I like to see a change take place in people's lives when they hear the word and when they sit under the word of God. There should be a change that takes place in your life. And if this scripture doesn't get to you, I don't know what will. He said, not everyone that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. So these are talking about Christians as well, professing to know the Lord Jesus. They are Christian brothers and sisters professing, calling on the name of the Lord. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. So these, again, are sheep, wolves in sheep clothing. He said, everyone is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven that says, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's why it's easy. The Bible says, broad is the way. We're going to get to that, that leadeth to destruction, but wide is the way. I mean, wide is the way that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, because not a lot of people are going to find eternal life. You know, it's easy to follow the mentality of the being accepted. Amen. The Bible says, if you were of the world would love you because you are of the world. But he said, because I have called you out of the world, because you are not of this world, he said, therefore, the world is not going to love you. So beware when people say all good things about you. Amen. Because that lets you know maybe you need to check your walk with God, because God is going to tell you sometimes to go against the grain of the establishment and what people are saying. You're not going to always be light. I learned this the hard way. You're not going to be light. You're not going to be accepted. I can't tell you how many churches I've been in where I'm not even going to start talking about what I have been through, because I'm going to wait until I get the building so I can tell you face to face. But I have been through so much with Christian leadership, that because I expect for leaders to obey the word of God. I expect for Christian men and women to obey the word. I expect, if I see it in the Bible, I'm just naive enough or gullible enough or foolish enough to think, oh, well, they're going to obey because they are Christian. They love the Lord, so they're going to do what the Bible says, because that's what the word says. But I cannot tell you how many times I've run into people who do not put the word of God in, as first place in their life. And these are Christian leaders in the church. They throw love out the window. They throw, arts out the window. The Bible says, "Don't, if you think your brother have an art with you, go to that person." They don't go to that person. Amen. I mean, it's just so much sometimes division. And these people think that this is my church, you know. And thank God I'm not in a church like that now. But there are so many pastors that think this is my church and I'm the head, and no two-headed monster can rule. You know, it's only one head, and you got to do what I say do, or you can hit the door, in so many words. And they might not tell you that word for word, but their actions speak louder than their words. So I'm just telling you, if you ever been feeling uncomfortable in a church, or you made to feel uncomfortable, you're not alone, because the word of God is going to go against the grain. Amen. The Bible says it cuts going and coming. It's like it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So you're not going to be accepted all the time. Amen. That's just to encourage somebody that may have been persecuted or may have went through some things in their church. Amen. Now the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now remember another scripture Jesus said, when they said your mother and your brother are outside, they want to see you. The Bible said there was a crowd of people. Jesus said, who is my mother and who is my brother, but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. That's why I don't believe in all this nepotism in church. I don't believe that just because it's okay if you have your relatives working in the church, but when you solely hold positions for people in your family just because you want to put them on the payroll, or you want to get them involved, or you want to, you know, keep it in the family, that is not God. Jesus said, who is my mother and who is my father but he that doeth the will of my Father in heaven? So you should be looking, as church leaders, we should be looking for people that have a heart for God, people that want to obey God, people that want to do the will of God and help to fulfill the kingdom plan that God has given you. Amen? The Bible says we are servants. Amen. So the Bible says, amen, we're in Matthew 7 and 22. Excuse me. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So this is going on in the church, amen. And it's not going on in a lot of churches because the devil's just so holding it down. I mean, he's got people so to the point now where we don't pray for people no more. We don't cast devils out of people. We don't seek for people to be delivered in church. Amen. We don't prophesy too much in church no more. I've never seen a church world. I mean, this is just everywhere, not just in one church, but no matter where I go now, just about, I never hear a prophecy. I know you might be experiencing it. God bless you if you do. But as a whole, there's not, especially in a lot of these big churches, there's not a lot of prophecy going on. There's not a lot of laying on of hands. There's not a lot of casting out devils. And the Bible, and praying in the name of Jesus, teaching on the name of Jesus, what does it mean? A lot of people don't even know what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? You ask some, the average Christian, why do you pray in the name of Jesus? They won't even know what to tell you, because that's what somebody told me to do. And that's like the man that was casting out demons, and he said, I adjourn you by the name of the one that Paul is preaching about. He didn't have a personal relationship. He didn't have the knowledge of the name, the power that's in the name, the authority that's in the name. He didn't know who Christ was in his life to be casting out a demon. The devil know. The devil told him, he said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the Bible said the devil jumped in that man, and he was seven times worse. All them demons jumped in that man because he was trying to cast out demons, and he didn't know who the power that was in the name that he was using. You can't go around here trying to act like you in a relationship with God and then trying to show yourself to be somebody more than what you are, because God knows the real you. God knows if you've been in his face. God knows if you've allowed him to change your life. God knows if you draw nigh unto him. He said, you draw near unto me, and I'll draw nearer unto you. A lot of people are not drawing near unto God. We're so caught up in our work and in our school or in raising our kids, which all of that is good. But remember what Jesus told Mary and Martha. Martha told Jesus, she said, tell Mary to come and help me clean the house. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art worried or coming about with many things. He said, but Mary have chosen the better part. Amen. He said, Mary have chosen the better part, and that shall not be taken away from her. So, and Mary wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen. She wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn and worship and praise him and be in his presence. Jesus said, I'm not going to take that away from her so she can go and clean house. Now, he said, don't leave the other undone. He said, but she got it right. Amen. Because she put God first. She wanted to be in the presence of God. I don't know how we can make it, saints. I don't know how we intend to make it, you know, in this world without being in God's presence. I try to keep myself in a place. I don't always achieve it because I have a very busy life right now. But I try to read the word daily. I try to say a prayer. I try to pray for some, pray who needs prayer. I try to send up prayers and intercede for other people. You know, I try to be available to God in case I need to pray for somebody, or I need to pray for myself. Amen. I try to keep myself in a place of prayer, and I try to keep myself in the word. And that's not always easy, but sometimes you have to strive, the Bible says, to enter into the straight gate. It's a struggle sometimes. Amen. Because the flesh, Jesus even said himself, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. So let's continue on. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name? So they're prophesying in the name of Jesus. Now, they're doing more than what the average church is doing now. We have prophesied in thy name. In thy name have we have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. That means they were working miracles. Amen. Probably raising the dead. But look what Jesus said. Jesus said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Hallelujah. He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So at the same time they was casting out demons, at the same time they was prophesying in his name, at the same time that they was doing many wonderful works and miracles and raising the dead, You know what they were also doing? They were working iniquity behind the scenes. They was work. They know they weren't doing it in front of people, so they had to be doing it behind the scenes. You don't know what these preachers are doing that's going behind closed doors. And I'm not here to bring division in the body, but somebody have to speak on what on how to judge a leader. Amen. And that's what something that God has given me, amen, in my ministry, is to build leaders, to design, to find out what a person's gift is and to build them up in that thing. So I can see a lot with leaders that maybe other people can't see because that's one of my gifts. Amen. But at the same time, I have to keep myself in a place of humility. I have to keep myself, as Paul said, he had a thorn in the flesh because he said, at least by the abundance of the revelation of knowledge, you know, that he be puffed up. Because knowledge, the Bible says, puffs up. So when you start learning all this stuff and God start talking to you and you in relationship and God is blessing you, you have to humble yourself, not God humble you and not man under you, but you have to humble yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season. I made up my mind. I'm almost 60 years old. I said, God, I should be at a time where I'm retiring. I thought you told me all of this stuff was going to happen in my ministry. I'm going to be honest with you. I asked God, why is it taking so long? God said, it's not time yet. He said, when it's time, there wouldn't be no one that can stop what I have planned for you. But believe me, God told me that my time is coming. Amen. And I'm standing on the word of God. I'm just trying to build a relationship with him. I'm not seeking to do more than what God has given me to do, which is at my disposal right now. I don't want to be disappointed. I've been disappointed too many times in the ministry, trying to go after things that before the time just because I got a prophecy about it. No, there has to be a time and a season, the Bible said, for every purpose under the earth. There's a purpose for you listening to this message tonight. There's a purpose for you being in the situation that you're in. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, all things, verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purposes. Amen. So praise God. I thank God for that. Amen. But let's get back into Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Amen. So he's, and then we're going to go to the next verse. Let me see if we have time to do one more. That was Matthew 7. We read down through verse 23. He said, I will profess that I never knew you. Let's go over to Luke chapter 12. Let's see what else Jesus said to beware of. Amen. In Luke chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 13. The Bible says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak unto my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. Now, this scripture really showed me a lot. Because as we're looking, amen, and like I said, I do preach on church leaders a lot. So if you don't like that, you don't need to listen. Amen, because somebody got to do it. Amen. So the Bible says, he said unto them, take heed. If the shoe don't fit, like my mom always tell me, if the shoe don't fit, don't put it on. Don't wear it. Amen. If this don't apply to you, you're not going to be offended. Hallelujah. But if you get offended behind what I'm preaching tonight, it's in the word. Hallelujah. Put word, like my pastor say, put word on it. All the time, put word on it. I'm giving you the word of God. And I'm not just giving you one scripture. I'm giving you all the scriptures that pertain, as the Holy Spirit will give it to me, that pertain to what we're talking about tonight. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said in verse 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. Now, people are getting all caught up on things nowadays, houses and cars and land. I'm telling you, God will give you what you need. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. God said, I have it. It belongs to me. But you have to get it God's way. A lot of people don't want to wait on God. They don't want to seek God. They don't want to trust God. Sometimes God is teaching you how to wait on him, how to trust him. He said, patience is a virtue. Amen. He said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. People don't teach that no more. People don't want to wait. We're in a world where everything got to be right. right here and now. Even our kids nowadays, they want it right now. They don't know how to wait. I tell my son that all the time. Learn how to wait on things sometimes. Don't just think you're supposed to have it right now. Amen. Sometimes you have to wait. Amen. On the timing, like I said, the timing is essential. But Jesus said, beware of covetousness. You know what covetousness is? It's wanting things. Amen. And that's what a lot of people have. And I'm not going to preach on somebody that asked for $65 million for a plane this week. Amen. But I just think that that money could go into something else. I think it's okay to have a plane. Nothing wrong with having a plane. But don't just depend on the people. Use your money to help buy some of it. Amen. Paul said, I didn't want to be a burden to nobody. Amen. He said, these hands have provided all of my needs. And he was the greatest preacher in the New Testament. And God will give you what you need to work your ministry. You don't have to be a burden to people. You don't have to ask people. You don't have to beg people. I told God, I'm not going to be a begging preacher. When God bless me, I'm going to pour into my own ministry. Just like I support my pastor, when he send me out and I have my church, I believe I'm going to be sufficient enough where I'm not going to have to stand up there and beg on Sundays for an offering. If you give, it's a blessing to you to give. Amen. But the bills are going to be paid because God has provided a way. God has made a way of escape. There should not be a burden on the people to give or you're going to be put out or something not going to be paid. Amen. That's not God's saints. God will provide, amen, just like he told Abraham, the fire of faith that we preached on last week. He said, Isaac said, I see the fire and I see the wood, but where's the ram? Hey, what did Abraham say? He said, God will provide himself a ram for the sacrifice, amen. God will always provide, amen, and that's when God became known as Jehovah, my provider, amen, Jehovah God, my provider, amen, because he is a provider. You need to know him as a provider. Amen. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness for a man's life. Talking about your life. Not just people think that if they don't have nice things and they don't have everything that they want, that they don't have a life. The Bible said your life do not consist in just the abundance of things that you possess. Too many people put too much emphasis on possessions nowadays. Christian folks. I ain't talking about people that's not saved. I'm talking about Christians. Amen. And he spoke a parable unto them and said, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, I like when he preached on rich people, amen, because there's a lot of people that want to be rich. You think you want to be rich, amen, but the Bible says it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. So just think about that for a minute. But the Bible said he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, remember we talked about telling the tree about a fruit it bear? Well, this man said, I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. That's what a lot of people do. They think I got to go from this church to a bigger church. We done outgrew this church. Or, you know, I want a bigger place. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we can put the cart before the horse, and sometimes we can get out the will of God doing that too. But if God is telling you to go to a bigger place, by all means, go. But it should not be a burden to the people. That's all I'm saying. He said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul. Now, this man is talking. Now, you know this man had to be close to God. He said, I will say to myself, soul, soul, thou hast, or had to know something about God, because most people don't talk like this. When I talk, I see people, I try to see souls. Most people don't see souls when they look at people. They just see people. They don't see the souls. Amen. But he says, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So he's talking about enjoying life. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? See, this man was talking about building more, a bigger place for his things. God said, who's going to get these things and inherit these things? Because I'm coming, I'm requiring your soul tonight. In other words, you're going to die. So the Bible says in Luke 12:21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Things don't mean anything to God. God, like I said, God has it all. He wants to give it to you, but you have got to put him first. He said, don't lay up treasure for yourself and hoard on God. You know, you got to be rich toward God. That means being a God lover, a cheerful giver. If something is a burden on you to give, you need to keep it in your pocket. You need to give in faith. If you give some bill money, you need to give it in faith. You need to know that God is going to meet the need. You don't need to get mad if that money don't come in for that bill that you gave. You don't need to get mad at nobody but yourself because you're the one who gave it. Amen. So that's why I'm talking about being a good steward. You need to set aside. Most people, when they get paid, they don't set aside an offering for God when they first get paid. When you first get paid, you need to set aside what I'm going to give in the offering. When you write your bills out, take out your offering out of that paycheck before you and set it aside. Sometimes I have to get a money order so I won't spend the money, because if I have it in my pocket and I need this, I might be tempted to spend it. But if I have the money order, it's already made out. I'm so glad my church have online giving, because sometimes when I get money, I want to give, and I don't want to wait 2 or 3 days so I go to church so I could just go online and just put my card in and just pay the money I want to give online now, which is very convenient. I thank God for that, because it's been a blessing to me. But, you know, in this day and age, we should always be willing to give. The Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen, saints? Amen. So we're down to the last couple of minutes here. But the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. This is Luke 12:22. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall put on, for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. See, Jesus was teaching here. He said, take no thought for your life. Too many times we worry about what we're going to eat. God fed. You know what God told me when I was going through something financially, and I was, going through something, and I really didn't have the money to buy food the way I wanted to. You know what God told me? Well, my family was going through it too. But God told me, he said, I fed the ravens. I had the ravens to bring Elijah food during the famine. Amen. And he told me, he said, a raven is a bird that eats meat. A raven eats meat. It's unheard of for a raven to collect some meat, save it, and take it to somebody and give it to them. And the Bible says God had a raven to do this. I think it was like 3 months. It might have been longer than that. I have to look it up in Kings. But God said a raven fed Elijah during the famine. He brought him meat every day to eat. And he was by the brook, and he had water. Amen. So it may not be, you might not be able to eat steak when you're going through sometimes, but you can better take that peanut butter and jelly, or make you an egg, or fry you a piece of bologna, and act like it's steak, and thank God for it before you let it touch your mouth. Hold it up to the Lord and say, God, I thank you for this food that we're about to eat. Because if you're faithful over a little, God will make you ruler over my saints. Praise God. I can't tell you how many times I had to live through that. I had to actually live through that, what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you something that somebody told me. I'm telling you something that I experienced myself. Amen. But Jesus said, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. So the life is more than food. Amen. And the body is more than clothes. So this is why we got to change the way we think. The Bible says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, but God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls of the air? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? This is verse 25. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Amen. Now this is Jesus talking, not me. So the Bible says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all of his glory, he was the richest man that ever lived. He had a lot of glory, but he was not arrayed like one of these. Amen. That's why Jesus said in verse 29, if God then so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Amen. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. The Bible says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But he said, rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself baths which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Amen. And we're going to end on that tonight. God bless you. I enjoyed talking to you tonight. I see you again on Sunday night. My time is up. God bless you. And this is Evangelist Amos coming to you live with love and peace from Manna Teaching Ministry. Good night.